7 and 8. Blessed is the man. Say, I am blessed. Here's what the word says. Blessed is the man. Say, I am blessed. Watch this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. Hey, watch this. When the heat comes, or when the heat's turned up, or when a recession comes, or when layoffs loom. Come on now. We're not going to be concerned because we're like a tree planted what? By the river. Watch this. He goes on to say, we're not going to fear. Our leaf will be green. In other words, others may be losing their leaves, but ours will continue to be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. How many know what a drought is? It's called lack. It's famine. Nor cease from yielding its fruit. It doesn't matter what's happening in atmospheric conditions or those circumstances around the person that trusts in the Lord, because they are going to continue to do what they were created to do. That does not determine the outcome or does not define us as a people. You know, I'm encouraged this morning to know that nothing that the government does or doesn't do, or nothing that the private sector will do or doesn't do, will have an impact or affect what God has assigned me to do. In other words, my leaves will continue to be green. That's a good place there just to lift your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to be interactive this morning. Look at somebody and say, you're sitting next to someone who trusts in the Lord. Therefore, I am a blessed person. Watch this. Here's a definition of what trust really means. Get this in your spirit. It means firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. Let me say that again. The definition's there before you. You should write this down. This will help you. When you say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, in other words, blessed is the man who has a firm reliance on the integrity, ability, and character of God. That's what it means to trust the Lord. You know, there's a call of the Holy Spirit this morning for us as God's people to cross over into the realm of trust. I like our dollar bills, all of our monies in America. It says, in God we trust. Now, isn't that interesting? Put that definition to that little inscription on our tender in this nation. And it's literally saying, in God we have a firm reliance on His integrity, ability, and character in the United States of America. I'm thankful that's still on our money. And it's the best place for it, because many of us have trusted in chariots and in horses. But those of us that know, we're going to believe in the name of the Lord our God. Look at someone and say, God is reliable. How many believe that? Wave your hand at me. Do you believe it? He is reliable. The word blessed is simple. It means this, empowered to succeed. Watch this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Empowered to succeed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I go to Psalm 34. I like this verse because it brings me into intimacy with God. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, read that with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's one thing about walking by a bakery shop and seeing in their window the display of all the breads and the nice pastries. It's another thing to go inside the bakery store and smell through the sensory realms there all the beautiful smell and aroma of the fresh baked bread and pastry. But oh, it's another thing to sit down and take a bite of that pastry that you looked at, smelled, but now you're tasting. And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Meaning, sit down and sup with God. Get into a place of intimacy with Him. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. You see, people that trust in the Lord are people that'll take the time to go into the bakery shop and sit down and have intimacy with God. Look at verse 22 of that same book, Psalm 34. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. I want to give you hope this morning. When He's talking about redeeming the soul, He means to buy it back from calamity, to buy it back from trouble, to buy it back from failure, to buy it back from all of those things that would try to arrest our soul and defeat us. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. I want you to know today that God said that He redeems the souls of His servants. You may have come in here today and you have a history. I have a history. We all do, don't we? And some of us would not want it published either. And I don't want anybody to know my skeletons in the closet. You say, well, I like to know that. That would be good reading to find out what your skeletons are. I'll tell you what, I'll tell mine if you tell yours. But all I know is this, God redeems all the skeletons in everybody's closet, and He puts flesh back on them and sinew back on them. And what the devil took in death and tried to destroy, the power of the name of Jesus buys back the skeleton and makes it alive again. So if you're here today and you've been in trouble, you've messed up, you have just caused all kinds of problems for people, and in your own personal life, I want to give you hope today, an expectation of what you can believe for tomorrow. When you put your trust in the Lord, when you put your reliability upon Him and His character, God said He'll redeem back every problem, every failure, every crisis you've ever had in your life. That's another good place to lift your hands and praise Him. I think we ought to do that right now. Come on. Thank You, Jesus, that You redeem our lives from all the skeletons in our closet. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. There's a mystery about trusting. You know, people always talk to me about faith. They say, God, you know, wants you to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. I believe that. I preach that. I try to live that. I believe that we move from faith to faith. I believe that it is faith that we must walk by. That's what the Word of God tells us. But ladies and gentlemen, can I introduce you to the fact that faith is an elementary teaching of the gospel? Oh my, it got a little quiet in here. But let me help you understand something about trust. Trust. You see, the battle line really lies in the mind. You can have all the faith that you can build in your life through the Word of God, because we know it comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is something that God gives according to Romans 12 and 3 as a measure, as a gift. We all operate in this gift called faith. But when the enemy torments the mind, when the enemy tells you it doesn't matter how much you've given and how much you believe, you're going to die from what the doctor just said you have. Suddenly your mind begins to play with you. You know, often I've had to deal with this myself personally, where I know that God is able. I know that my God shall not lie, that He's trustworthy. But when you're in the midst of a battle, and circumstantial evidence is so strong, you begin to forecast your own future. And that is of defeat or calamity. But something happens in the mind. Matthew 6:31 tells us in the King James Bible, take no thought about tomorrow. In other words, don't worry saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? In other words, I don't know what's going to happen. How am I going to make it? How am I going to get out of this thing? God, what are You going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? Worst case scenario. Have you ever said that? I said that this week 22 times. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. But it all lies within the mind. And you and I need not to take those thoughts. Those thoughts are not God's thoughts. Because the Bible says there's two kinds of thinking in the world. Isaiah 55. He said there's two kinds of ways. I'm going to go God's way, not my way. And I'm going to take God's thought and not my own thought. In other words, I'm going to totally rely upon what God said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just introduce you. Faith is believing what God said is true. Trust, however, is a higher level of ministry with God. We must cross over. Everybody say, cross over. The church has got to cross over into complete and total trust in God. Because when you and I refuse to take the thoughts of the devil and continue to rely upon what God said, we will overcome the devil. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and 5. As you're turning there, I just introduced to you the fact that the man that trusts in the Lord is blessed. The man that trusts in the Lord is blessed. The man who has reliance upon the ability and the character and the integrity of God is blessed. In other words, he's empowered to prosper. But watch this. The man that trusts in other men, verse 5 says this, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Watch this. I've got to maintain my trust in God. When you and I begin to trust in men, when you and I begin to trust in people, when you and I begin to trust in the flesh, I can work this out myself. I don't need nobody. That man walks into the realm of cursed. Cursed simply means this. It's the opposite of blessed. You are now empowered to fail. Look at somebody this morning and say, you're not sitting next to a failure, honey. Now, I know you probably just called that man honey, and if you're a man, you were uncomfortable with that, but it's all right. Let me talk to you for a minute about trust and faith. I'm on a journey this morning. I'm learning something about trusting in the Lord. I'm learning something about trust and obey, because there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus. You see, trusting produces happiness. It produces God's will in my life. You see, faith is confidence. I want you to say that with me. Faith is confidence. But trust is commitment. Say that with me. Trust is commitment. Let's go through it one more time. Faith is what?
Confidence.
It's an open book test, open screen test. But what is trust? So faith gives me confidence to walk and believe. However, trust is commitment to walk and believe. Now, faith can falter. Faith and confidence can be lost. Let me show you this. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus was praying for Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, please focus on this message this morning, because the times that we are in, you're going to need this truth. I don't believe America will ever be the America of the past. I don't know that I'm accurate. It's just my opinion. I'm not prophesying, but I am saying this. The future is going to change. But those that understand how to trust in the Lord will overcome anything that the future will bring to us. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. It tells us Jesus praying for Peter. He said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not what?
Fail.
That your faith would not fail. In other words, if Jesus said, I need to pray for you that your faith will not fail, that tells me that your faith can fail. It often fails because we take thought that is contrary to what God said. But we are soulical beings. We are emotional people. We have feelings. We have histories. And the enemy will exploit those histories and those feelings, and suddenly our faith begins to fail. That's why we thank God this morning that Jesus is sat down at the right hand of the Father, whoever liveth to do what? Make intercession for us. Just like he told Peter, he's telling you right now through this old preacher that God's prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Amen? Now listen, if it can fail, then I better understand how to get a little higher. Time to go a little higher. Tap somebody and say, go a little higher. Now you know why I'm doing all this morning? Because we lost an hour of sleep, and some of you are looking still a little sleepy. So I've got to get you to talk to each other. I've got to get you to bump one another once in a while just so you'll stay awake. You see, faith will fail. If my faith fails, my confidence goes with it. If my faith wanes, my confidence becomes unsure. Instead of saying, I believe God will deliver me, I continue to say and think, I hope He delivers me. I've been there. You've been there. We've all have had that experience where we think, oh God, you need to do something real quick. We're getting close to the midnight hour. God, you know, He may not be early and He may not be late, but God is always on time, right? Oh yeah. Well, what happens when the clock strikes 12 and He still hadn't talked? Some of us start looking around saying, oh God, I think I'm losing my confidence, God. Whereas trust is commitment. Trust never looks at what time it is. Whereas faith always looks at the clock. Confidence looks at the clock. Trust care less what time it is, what day it is, where I am, where you are, how much I've got or how much I've lost. Because thought can't affect trust like it affects faith. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. If faith produces confidence, here's what the Bible says, therefore do not cast away your... Oh, come on, y'all. Help me, please. This preacher needs help this morning. I lost the same hour of sleep, and I'm struggling. Come on. Therefore, do not cast away your what? That sounds real good. Let's try that again. Therefore, do not cast away your... Why? Because it has what? Great reward. He's telling you don't cast it away, meaning it can be cast away. You can lose your confidence. You and I can throw it away, and with it goes the reward. But something about trust that I really like. Are you ready to write this down? At least etch it in your memory. Look at the Psalms with me. Psalm 125 and verse 1. I'm going to say this, and I want you to get it in your spirit. Trust can never be removed. Those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, Psalm 125, verse 1, I don't have it memorized, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Let's read it. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. One more time, read it with me, please. Those who trust in the Lord, which cannot be moved, and abides forever. Now get up on your feet, and I want you to shout this with me. We're going to say it one more time. You may even want to get spiritual this morning and lift a hand up when you say it. Come on, somebody. I want you to preach it to yourself. Here we go. Ready? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now give somebody a high five, and you can be seated. How to ruin the devil's day? When you cross over to trust, the devil is defeated. Because you cannot be moved when you walk in trust. Reliance upon ability. Confidence in His integrity. Knowing that God is able. See, the devil has a bad day when you walk in trust. But he'll mess with you if you're still just walking in faith. He'll paint some ugly pictures. He'll create some irrefutable evidence. He'll make your mother turn on you. He'll make your pet dog bite you and run away. Come on, somebody. He'll mess with your faith. Oh, I never thought I'd lose my best friend, but look, he just bit me on the arm. Those that trust in the Lord will never be moved. Say with me, I trust the Lord this morning. I like that scripture. Look at Daniel chapter 3. I want to illustrate this with us. Daniel chapter 3 in verse 17 and 18. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 16. They don't have that verse, but I'll read it to you. It says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego announced and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you this matter. In other words, I don't take any thought. I don't have any response to your goofiness. I'm not even going to give you the time of day to answer or respond, because what you're saying has no bearing on my life. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. You see, you got to understand something. I'm on this earth on assignment. You see, my days have already been numbered, devil, so it doesn't really matter to me. You see, I know that my God is able. You know, they had crossed over to trust. Now, I want you to see this in the Word, because this will change your life. It's changed mine. It goes on to say in verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. In other words, you said you're going to put us in there? I don't even have to answer you. Whatever. Come on, practice with me. Whatever. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we don't serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. In other words, I trust in the Lord. You see, they had crossed over to trust because faith could have failed at the temperature of the furnace. Faith could have lost its confidence when it saw the soldiers die at the door. But trust looked at the king and the furnace and said, whether he delivers us from this fiery furnace or not, O king, I just want you to know I'm still not worshiping your gods. Do you get it? Because I trust in the Lord. Come on, you can clap for Jesus bigger than that. Come on, give Him a praise this morning. Hallelujah. I trust in the Lord. Faith believes God can do it. Faith declares God can do it. But trust says, even if He doesn't, it doesn't change a thing. Oh, God, take us over to the other side. We've got way too many Christians. Like my wife says to the kids, call the wambulance. How many know what a wambulance is? Somebody call the wambulance because they're crying. Why are you crying? Because God didn't do what I was believing that He was going to do. Do you hear the sirens in the local church blaring all the time? Because somehow we didn't get what we were believing for. Now we don't believe God anymore because it didn't happen. And I put all my time in this thing and I was standing on the Word. Ambulance is coming. take you away. You see, we got to cross over to trust. I've already made a decision when I got up this morning. I trust in the Lord. Whether or not this day holds for me anything that I would determine or define as not good for me. Because the Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from those who love Him. How many love God this morning? Okay, now look at your neighbor and say, you know what? God will not withhold any good thing from this old boy or girl. How many have faith in His Word that God said He would not withhold any good thing? Do you believe that? All right, tell somebody again with conviction. Start preaching. Wag that head. Shake that finger. Come on, tell somebody. Say, God will not withhold any good thing from this old girl, this old boy. I just want you to know that. See, some of you got your preach on. Others are still struggling. You're kind of Presbyterians. You got to preach that thing, man. Listen, I got to tell you something. If you don't have what you think you deserve, and you don't have what you believe good is in your life, God must have withheld it because He believes that it's not good for you right now. Because if He doesn't withhold any good thing, and you don't have what you think ought to be coming to you as good, then God hasn't failed. He's just saying that if I gave it to you now, good would turn into bad. So I'm content just because I don't have $1,000, or just because I don't have the new job, or just because I didn't get this or didn't do that, or wasn't able to go here or wasn't able to accomplish that. No, 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 you're not going to get this man to begin talking bad about my God, because I trust in the Lord and I lean not unto my own understanding. We used to sing an old song. Said, leaning, 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 leaning on the Lord's side. We used to get the whole congregation to stand up and sing it. And when we get to that part, we'd all be leaning on each other. Leaning, leaning. You all wouldn't do that now. You're too sophisticated. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to understand that I'm not lacking any good thing in my life right now. I am totally blessed. Blessed when I rise up and blessed when I lie down. I'm blessed when I come in and I'm blessed when I go out. My basket is full. My God is able. Hallelujah. You look at it, one blessed man. You say, yeah, but look at the trouble you've got. What trouble? I trust in the Lord. I got confidence in my God. Yeah, but do you see the Dow Jones average? That's like a fiery furnace to me. I finally figured it out. I finally got it. God's in control. Whew, that took me a long time to get to that point. How many believe that? God is in control. Give Him a praise. God, you're in, hallelujah, control. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. That's why Timothy, you know, was told by Paul. He said in 1 Timothy 6, he said, tell those people that are rich among you. Now, I know you're all going to say, well, that ain't me because I ain't got no money. But you know what? Let me just put you into the standard of the third world. So every one of you here now qualify as being very, very wealthy people. So let's just put ourselves in that scripture. Can we do that? Look at somebody and say, you're in. Have you seen that one commercial? I think it's Verizon, My Fab Five, or You're In, My Favorites, or whatever it is. Look at him again and say, you're in. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's where you are. You're in chapter 6 and verse 17. In other words, when the Bible tells us, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust. Ooh, there's that word again. Trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Herein lies the litmus test for trust. When money determines your countenance, it demonstrates where your trust lies. You demonstrate trust in God when you give money, not when you get money. Thank you, Lord, for Ray and Emily's testimony of giving groceries. You know how much fun it is paying for people's stuff. Have you ever done that? I have to be careful, though, because I want to make sure I don't get behind somebody with too big of a cart. Do you remember the young man that we saw? We had a cart full of groceries and he came behind us. He was in a hurry. It was obvious. I put the picture together. He was about 20-something. He had a package of diapers. He hurriedly came behind me at the checkout, looked around, surveyed, tried to find someplace quicker. I think they had an emergency at home. Honey, we're out of diapers. Go get some. Oh, man, now go get some. All right. And off to the groceries he went. He gets behind me. And I look over at him, and God said, buy the diapers. I said, God, I'm done with that phase in my life. But I bought the diapers. I said, man, just put those up here with my stuff. I'll pay for them. I said, just... whatever they do, they code that thing, they just zip it. I said, take your diapers, man. Run, run! The baby needs you. He's like, oh, wow. Man, thanks, man. You ought to do that. I said, no, I don't. Hurry, get it quick. I'm going to change my mind. My faith is failing. My confidence is waning. He grabbed his diapers, off he went. I said, you know, Tina, I just feel great doing that. This is awesome. She goes, I think, you know, I said, Jesus loves you or something. I forget what I said. So we get out in the car, out in the parking lot. I don't know how he was out there so long. Maybe he was on the phone and said, you ain't going to believe what just happened. But we got out with our groceries and we're pulling across the parking lot. And here he comes in the car. Big smile on his face, waving at me like we're old buddies from high school. I said, enjoy the diapers. Go to the coffee shop, you know, and you got somebody in front of you or somebody behind you, and you just look at them and say, you know what, I'm going to pick that drink up for you today. I just want to pay for that. They look at you like you're from another planet. Because when you trust in money, you live for money. When you lose money and it changes your countenance, it's an indication you are trusting in mammon. Oh, Pastor, that's a bad thing to say on Sunday morning after I just lost my job. 401k went down to nothing. Listen, I understand. They know you don't. Trust me. My countenance is based on my trust in the Lord. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Come on, throw your hands up. Say, Lord, I trust you this morning. Oh, I trust you this morning. Watch this. Trust will release power in your life. Job 31, verse 24, 25. and 28. I said, trust releases power into your life. If I made gold my hope, Job said, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. Go to the next verse. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much. The Bible says, his heart is established. Well, you missed verse 28 of Job 31. Do you have it? Back up. This also would be iniquity deserving of judgment, for I have denied God who is above. Oh my goodness. Job said, God, you delivered me. Gold's not my deliverer. I'm not putting trust in this. If I'd have done that, it would have been deserving of judgment. I would have denied the God who is above by just trusting in things that are on the earth. Psalm 112 and verse 8. Here's what it'll do for you. Not only will it deliver you, it will establish your heart. Psalm 112 verse 6. Not only will it establish your heart and deliver you, it will cause righteousness to endure in your life. Let me say this. Write it down. Trust is an expression of commitment. Trust is an expression of commitment. Can I say this morning without being controversial? Tithes and offerings are given to demonstrate trust. That God is my source. Trust is what will satisfy you in hard times. And if you don't think hard times have come, wait until tomorrow. You say, Pastor, you're prophesying doom and gloom. Only for those whose faith has failed and whose confidence has been lost. But those that trust in the Lord, their day is brighter than the day before. Because my God is able to deliver me from every fiery trial. Can I get an amen in here? Watch now. Psalm 33 and 18 and 19 talks about famine. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his mercy to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. Look at somebody and say, you're not going to starve to death in this recession. I know I'm not going to starve to death. Thank God they passed the stimulus package. Had it not been for the stimulus package, I'd be starving right now. We were driving down Route 58 from Route 2 this morning, and Pastor Troy leans over and he says, you think some of that stimulus money's coming to Ohio? They can fix this road? It's a bumpy road, man. My little Honda was just jerking and jiving and jumping and bouncing. Last week we pulled out and hit something. I don't know what it was. And wife's coffee went all over the place. Man, can't they fix these roads? Got no money. Oh, no, they got money now. We've got a stimulus package. I'm not saying we don't need it. I trust in the Lord. I know my leaders have got to do what they believe is best. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're trusting in that government check, come on now. That woman that came in with those three babies, whose Ohio car did not have enough to buy what they needed, learned that if government is not for God. When another man demonstrated his trust in the Lord by giving to someone he never met. Emily learned something she'll never forget. And that is, God, if He told you to give it, it's because there's somebody driving up right now who needs it. Psalm 37, 18 and 19 talks about the days of famine. Psalm 112 and verse 7, the person who puts their trust in God is steadfast in heart. Let me just say this. Trust will free you from worry. And worry kills. That's called stress in modern vernacular. I'm just so stressed over this thing. It's just driving me crazy. I don't know if I can do this. I can't deal with it. Trust will free you of stress. And then finally, things will never get better in your life until you go higher. Higher meaning walk into the realm of trust. I want to thank God this morning for all the greeters in this ministry who love us enough to give us a big handshake and a smile and a welcome every Sunday. Aren't they something? Where are you, greeters? Are you still in church? Stand up. All the greeters. Stand up. Look at them. Stand up. Look at them. Give them a great big God bless you, greeters, for serving this house in excellence. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, sign language, I think thank you is this. Thank you. All right, stand back up a minute. Now look at some of them and just go like that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now you can be seated. Oh, you know what? I forgot the offering. I did it on purpose, though. Because I figured it would be more meaningful to give now than it would have been prior to this message. Because some of you are making a decree and a declaration when you give your tithe and offering now. You say, I trust in the Lord. Why don't you write that on your offering envelope this morning? You say, why would I write that on my offering envelope? That doesn't mean a thing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is a declaration of what you believe. So just write on there, I trust in the Lord. I trust in the character, the ability, and the integrity of my God. And we want to bless the house of the Lord. I believe that God has a wonderful plan for your life and for my life. Let's believe Him this morning. Are you ready to give? Make a check to CNC. Let's rejoice as we give. Let's glorify Jesus as we give. Let's demonstrate to the devil, it doesn't matter how hot it gets, I trust in the Lord. Go ahead and receive that offering this morning. While that offering is being received, if you're here today, my friend, listen, and you're not born again. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Come to Him today. Give your heart to the Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. He's real. This isn't fantasy. This isn't religion. This is all about our Creator, Heavenly Father, who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're not born again, if you were to die today, you say, Pastor, I don't know what they would say at my funeral. I can't preach you into heaven then, but I can preach you there now. But once you lay before me, it's over. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Sometimes we say so many good things about the deceased, and you know they're not true. We say, God, they're with you right now, and we really don't know. Will your family know? Hey, sir, listen to me. Will your family know? Will you comfort them in the hour of your passing with the fact that they know that you went to heaven because you gave your life to Christ? Or will you leave them grieving, not only over the loss of your life, but over the fact that they don't know if you're with Jesus? That's a very cruel thing to do. So today, give your heart to God. Give your heart to Jesus. Let Him be the Lord of your life this morning. So every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question. You say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. I want to make that choice. I want to make that decision today. On the count of three, lift your hand if that's you. One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up. 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 Way in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Way up there. Over on the side. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly, quickly. Say, that's me. I need to get right. Give my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Altar ministers, you're going to join us across the front. And I'm going to ask those that raise their hand to come for prayer. So if you raise your hand, you need prayer this morning, I want you to come right now. Pastor Troy is coming to close this service to give you some direction, some very important information where you could build your life on it. Pastor Troy, would you come right now? God bless all of you. See you next time.
Hallelujah. You know, it's not for heaven's sake, but it's for the earth's sake that the kingdom exists in the earth. And this morning, we're the family of God. And if you could do me a favor, let's stand to our feet right now. We are the family of God. We are the kingdom in the earth. And we have some needs that are present with our elder. You know, we have elders in this church, under shepherds. And some of them need your prayer right now. Can we touch and agree for these right now that need prayer? Elder Ernie Gilks suffered an illness, and he needs prayer. Ruth Ferguson, many of you know her. She needs prayer. She's going through chemotherapy. Lowell Anderson, he's an elder in our church. He needs prayer. He's fallen ill. And then Robert Marshall is going through chemotherapy as well. Right now, right where you're at, close your eyes, lift your faith towards heaven, and let's pray for these. Father, we thank you, Lord, that these are the healed of the Lord. We rebuke and bind sickness, disease, lack, insufficiency. God, we just declare that you are more than enough for them right now. We intercede. We stand on the wall and we say, God, rescue, deliver, heal, set free, make alive. Breathe on these, God. Breathe on these that we brought before you today. Make them well in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of the Lamb over their life today. And we say, God, they are whole in Jesus' name. We declare what your word declares over their life, that they are healed in Jesus' name, that you are the Lord God who heals us. And it is by the stripes of Jesus that they are whole. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you, Satan. We rebuke you. We bind your works in their life. We say you have no authority. They are co-heirs, joint heirs. They are ambassadors. And that they're not from this world. They're from a kingdom that's above this kingdom. And so we say, let the kingdom come near them now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This morning, church, you are part of that kingdom this morning. If you need prayer, we want you to come. Don't leave here. Don't leave here with anything of this world. Get rid of it today. Don't walk out of here down. Don't walk out of here depressed. Don't walk out of here feeling anything less than what you are in the kingdom. And I have some questions. Now, we lay claim to a kingdom. Church must become. See, church has become what we come together and consume maybe once or twice a week. For about an hour and a half, we all come together and we consume God's presence, don't we? But it must become more than that. If we're ever going to go beyond these walls and pour out into the community, it must become more than that. It must become, we must be the church in the grocery stores. God bless, we must be the church in our workplaces. We must be the church in hospitals. We must become the church in bars. We must become the church everywhere we go. The kingdom must begin to come out of us. But here's the problem. We don't know who we are. We're not attached to one another. And Jesus said this, who are my mothers and my brother? Who are they? But those who do the will of the Lord. Those who hear it and those who do it. He said, those who are connected to me, those who are my family, those who are of the kingdom in which I come from, are those who do it and know it. And so this morning I want to ask you, if you've not gone through the Foundations of Faith class, it is our discipleship class. It will teach you about this kingdom of which you lay claim to. If you don't know about the rules and the laws of your kingdom, then you have no business saying anything about it. Number one, if you have not gone through the Foundations of Faith class, you must get in there.
Number two, water baptism is next week. Wouldn't it be cool to baptize about 300 people? If you've never been water baptized, I'm talking to you. If you've never been water baptized, you say, I want to be water baptized. I want you, I'm talking to you. And number three, if you're not in a small group, you say, I don't really know a whole lot of people here. I'm new to this thing. I've been in this church 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and I don't have any relationships with any person. You know, I just come in, consume God, go home. I come in, consume God, go home. I come in, consume God, and I go home. I don't know the person to the left or right of me. This is just something I consume, because that's what I am. I'm a consumer. I consume God. I consume groceries. I consume time. I'm a consumer, and this is what I do on Sunday. If you're not in a small group, I'm talking to you. Jim A.B. Cook, can you come? Jim, they're right in the back. Look at them. See them back there? That's Jim and Amy Cook. If you're not in a small group, if you've never been through the foundations of faith classes, and if you've never been water baptized, listen to me. It's probably the most important thing to do for your faith, for the kingdom. You'll never know the kingdom that's inside of you unless you know who you are to that kingdom. So as we dismiss, those who need prayer, you come, you need prayer. If you raised your hand and you don't know Christ and you received Christ, you need to come forward and you need to confess to one of these warriors that you are born again. And if you are not involved in those three things, as we dismiss, I want you to go to the back and sign up real fast. Just sign your name, sign your information, go have some chicken. Okay? God bless you. Let Jesus talk to you. Let Jesus talk through you this week. Bless you as you go.